Luke Garrett. That's right.
Garrett.
Yes.
Like, we're going to find out about you.
But just with a G.
G.
All right. You have a chair over there, too, if you would like to use it.
I what?
Pressure. You have a chair.
Oh, no. I'll stand. I'm an old man. If I sit, I'll never get up again.
All right.
Oh, okay, this is night.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Wow. I forgot how loud you are.
I'm loud.
You're loud.
Check, check, check. I'm a little less loud, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably good that you don't wear headphones.
There we go.
And there was that episode where I didn't turn on her microphone.
But I was loud enough that I came through on other mics.
She's like, why is my level so low?
That's funny.
Yeah.
But
all right.
Megan volume. Okay. I guess this is my podcast, so I should welcome you into it. Welcome to It's All Journalism. My name is Michael O'Connell, your host for the It's All Journalism podcast. I've got something a little special, something that got me actually out of the home studio, i.e. my bedroom with a microphone, and back to a place that I used to work but I didn't work at, with the woman who helped found our podcast, Megan Clougherty.
Yes.
And
hello.
And her new partner in podcasting, who I just met, Luke Garrett.
Hello, hello.
Okay. So you may remember that Megan was on the podcast a few years ago with Jack. Jack, I can't believe I blanked on his last
Jack
name.
Moore?
Jack Moore.
Oh, for 22 hours.
For 22 hours.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah, you remember that
was before COVID. I feel like it's like
an incredible podcast.
That incredible podcast. No, it was fine. It was very good. It was very good.
You can tell we've known each other for a long time that he said that to me.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I'm proud of it, but it does feel like it was a very long time ago now.
Well, you know, that's the problem with podcasts. You have to keep producing, otherwise you think it's all behind you, and it doesn't exist. Which I guess is probably similar to radio, except radio's a kind of a whole different other thing. Mm. Anywho. The reason I trudged on down to WTOP from Fairfax was to talk to you two about a new podcast that you've got going on. It's you launched it a couple of weeks ago. I've been listening to some of the episodes. Really impressive stuff. First of all, I know Megan. Tell me a little bit about yourself, Luke.
Yeah. So I'm Luke Garrett. I'm a co-host of the DMV Download podcast. I came to WTOP a few years ago as an associate producer. And then became a producer. And during that time, I developed another podcast called Is It Normal Yet? Where we looked at the pandemic. And that's really, you know, what we did on that podcast. And it was great. It's a weekly podcast. And there's plenty to talk about. And that's where I fell in love with podcasting. I had never really done it before. And then, you know, I saw this DMV Download idea and was like, let's go, let's do this.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Okay, so can you definitively say where we're at in COVID at this point, or is it still limping?
I mean, for 52 weeks I tried to answer that question and I never found a good one. You know, we're definitely in a different position now than we were, you know, obviously March of 2020. I think, you know, this post Omicron phase is notably different just as far as government intervention and medical reality with Paxlovid and the vaccines. But that's as much as I can say.
Yeah.
It'll never be normal, you know,
no,
that's for sure.
It's the new normal. So, Megan,
yes.
Here you are podcasting again.
I know.
Were you the person who launched the idea or came up with the idea for DMV Download? Or?
You know, we were kicking around the idea, WTOP was a couple of years ago. After I finished 22 hours, I was thinking about my next contract and like, what else can I do that would be interesting and take the skills that I learned from doing 22 hours and actually, you know, keep using them. So I suggested a weekly podcast, but we just weren't there yet for a number of reasons. And it's funny because it's not like podcasting was new. But I think that there was, yeah, it's really old, but I think that there was a misunderstanding maybe or maybe a misconception about having a podcast in a radio station. Like, they're, like the idea that they would be competing for instead of helping each other.
Mm.
And so now with you know, time passing and probably more podcasts showing that it can be done and really having the people who were willing to take the project on, WTOP is all in now.
Oh, excellent.
All in. And so, and it takes a lot because, first of all, I was an investigative reporter for WTOP, turning daily stories for on air and on the web before getting this. And this is now my full-time gig. And Luke was producing and on the desk and like in the thick of it and then doing his podcast on the side. And now right. This is his full time gig. So not only have they, you know, they've hired us, but they have like, we have a budget. Wow. A budget? What? and just like, I think the biggest concern about it was how is it going to be received in house? Because it takes a village to raise this podcast. And so all of that is like very pleasantly working out.
Very smooth.
It is. And I, you know, I was a little bit like, you know, this is a new thing. How's it going to go? But so far, so good.
So during my time at Federal News Radio, which is now Federal News Network, I sat in on many meetings talking about podcasting here at Hubbard headquarters in D.C., but also at some of the digital, you know, get-togethers they had with all of the you know, podcasting people at other radio stations. And there they were, the station up in St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Paul, mm-hmm. had podcasts. They mm-hmm. were really forward thinking in their podcasts. But, you know, I can tell you that hearing you say that TOP is behind this, that is a huge change. And I don't mean that as in a criticism. I think it's just sort of them recognizing that this is something that they should be playing in.
Well, and the other thing is it's a daily. That's a whole different ball game than doing a weekly or even, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know, even a biweekly. I think it was a resources question, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're pulling me off the air, not like I'm some great thing, but you're pulling me off the air. You're pulling Luke. Luke's position has to be replaced.
Right.
I mean, you're moving pieces. This thing better work. And I think they also know from the 2 years or 3 years that we were podcasting before, they take a while to get off the ground. You're not going to have an immediate, you know, hundreds of thousands of people listening.
Oh, for sure.
So I think it was the expectation met the reality as far as resources. And it ended up happening that we as a team brought very different skills and we were both really eager to do it. And I think that also clicked really well for them.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing with podcasts, you know, it's, you know, a news podcast. I mean, you could figure you could do a podcast about a, you know, like COVID, like you did, Luke, mm-hmm. or, you know, some other story. But, you know, the idea of doing, you know, a 24-hour news station, you know, weather and traffic on the fives, you know, that
on the eights.
On the eights, pardon me.
Excuse me.
Shows you how long it's been since I listened to it. Anywho, that's such a drastically different model because podcasting goes at a different pace.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, there is room for, as you're showing, for newsrooms to create daily podcasts, certainly weekly podcasts, that are serving a local audience. You're not necessarily serving all of America mm-hmm. or the whole world.
Oh, we don't want to.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think that, I mean, I don't know if you want to respond to this, but I just jumped in.
Sure. No, I mean, I think every day when we pick a story, when we look at it, we try to determine, you know, how is this impacting local residents? Because that's really who we're trying to talk to and talk about. And that's what's so exciting because there are so many national podcasts and they're fantastic. You know, I personally listen to them. But to have 20 minutes of a place where people are trying to understand the stories and understand the news locally is just an exciting endeavor.
I think it's also interesting to give people a different type of product from a trusted news source, right? So they're used to TOP in these sort of quick bite fashion where, you know, if you listen to TOP for 20 minutes, you're going to get pretty much everything you need to know. I mean, from national, international, traffic, weather, business, sports, all of it in 20 minutes because it's so fast paced. This is picking two stories, sometimes three, and going deeper on them. So for a WTOP listener who's like, oh, I heard that on WTOP earlier, but I want to know more about that. Oh, I can turn to the podcast and get more on a local story. That's the idea.
Yeah. And I think the ones that I've listened to, like the one that I listened to on the way over here is one that she posted yesterday. And it was the D.C. Reaction to the Roe versus Wade decision leak or not decision, but, you know, paper. And I mean, that's giving you context, and that's something you can't give in the, you know, minute-by-minute news. Mm-hmm. You just have a clip. You know, this is what's happening. This should be aware of. And certainly, you know, TOP has a really good website, and people can go there, and they can read longer stories and interviews from all your reporters. But on the other hand, you know, if TOP wants to own people's ears, they need to get into podcasting.
Mm.
So there's definitely room for it. So let's talk a little bit about how this sort of, you know, what goes into the production of a podcast every day.
How long is this podcast?
Yeah, you remember when we used to do podcasts over an hour long.
To put it very simply, it's really a management of workflow. Because if you listen to The Daily, Start Here, Up First, any of the major national morning podcasts, at the end of it, you hear a chorus line list of people who are putting it together every day.
Yeah.
It's Luke and I and our manager who kind of guides us. And when we have what the heck do you think we should do this crazy idea? He helps us out. But from the production standpoint, it's just me and Luke. And so it really is, you know, we get in at 9:30, we publish by 3:45, 4 o'clock. So we've got to make sure that time is spent very well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we will not be publishing and we'll miss deadline.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Roe vs. Wade podcast episode, because we can point people to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just listened to it. So you get in at 9:30. This is, you know, like everybody in D.C., who's covering this story, it's like, oh my God, there are, you know, thousands of people outside the Supreme Court. What does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that's going to be your top story. So,
that's funny you say that, because it wasn't.
What was your,
that was bordering on a national, it's tricky in DC, and it, you know,
right.
This is not news. I mean, to anybody who does news in DC, but it's hard to delineate what's local and what's national. And sometimes they're both. But for us, it was like, okay, is this an opportunity to draw attention to how this would affect us locally?
Yeah.
So we weren't really trying to cover the reaction to the leak as much as we were trying to cover, okay, you've heard about the 26 states that have these trigger laws. You've heard about, on the national level, what this could mean, how big of a deal, and once in a lifetime this has happened in SCOTUS. But what's the law in D.C.? What happens in Maryland when people from West Virginia are coming there to seek an abortion? Are there going to be changes in Virginia law? I mean, we are trying to drill down using that as a jumping off point.
Well, you know, in D.C., it is a very significant story because, you know, Congress, especially statehood. If Congress turns around, unlike the rest of the states in the country, if Congress decides that it wants to do something to the COVID rights or the COVID rights, the abortion rights in D.C., they've shown in the past that they have passed laws that have, you know, for example, they've restricted access to clean needles in the needle program. The mayor said yesterday that they know that when that money wasn't available, you know, many, many, many people in D.C. died. And they knew that once that restriction went away, there was like a 99% increase in people getting help and being part of these programs.
Mm-hmm.
So I see you. You wanted to say
no. It's just it's DC's plight right now, and hopefully it changes. That national politicians use it as an example for how they would like to see things go forward if it didn't happen in their state, or if they want to push an agenda. And because DC is, you know, has federal oversight, it always has to have Congress say, yeah, that's okay, or no, that's not okay.
Right.
And it is interesting, we brought this up on the podcast yesterday, when you're talking about the Supreme Court decision and the idea that they want to kick it back down to the states to decide, well, D.C. doesn't have that right. So really, I mean, it's a philosophical question, it's a legal question, all sorts of things, but it is interesting to be in D.C. at this moment when that's the conversation. Oh, go ahead and decide it for yourselves, jurisdictions. Oh, but not you, D.C., because we're going to decide it for you.
Right. And we know what happened when, you know, COVID rolled out and suddenly D.C. was being treated differently than all the other states when it came to getting money.
Yep.
So again, this is a national story that's really kind of local. So what led you to thinking that, okay, we're going to make this our lead story? Was it just because it was too big to ignore?
Well, I think the local angle that Megan was speaking to, you know, gave us that indication that, oh, this should be our lead story. But also we had reporters on the ground that were collecting some fantastic sound and that could really bring listeners there. You know, not everyone can make it to the steps of the Supreme Court, but our reporters were. And so we were able to show them the emotion, the political and social firestorm that's coming with the sounds of this protest and these clashes, and what people think about this, you know, draft opinion that's really shaking things up. So that was also played into it, that sound of the protest, I think.
I also think that in our area, because our area is generally, how do we say this?
Smarter. More college degrees.
Liberal?
No.
Okay. We're throwing a lot of things
out. I don't know.
I guess, yeah.
More lenient when it comes to abortions in other states and other areas. That when people in our who live in our area heard that this could happen, they're thinking, right, but that's going to affect the places where I think are more conservative. It won't really affect our area. That's not true.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other thing, as you rightly said before, I mean, WTPO's audience is not just the district, but it's also the surrounding states. And you know, Virginia and Maryland, they've got different issues. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that Luke said that I did really like about the episode I listened to and on some of the other episodes that you've done is your ability to use the reporting that TOP is already doing to incorporate sound. And it gives a sort of different level of richness into what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of elevates it is a product. It's not just two talking heads. You've got, okay, this is what's going on in the street. And then you very smartly, you contacted somebody to interview.
Yeah. I mean, we like to bring experts in who know it the best, right? We like to bring the reporters in who were there and to use sound from people in the community. I mean, what a concept. Actually hearing the voices of the people who care about these things. To pull it off to another episode, it was an interesting kind of experiment this week that instead of pulling from TOP, we provided to TOP.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Fairfax County Chief Kevin Davis come in for an exclusive interview, sit down. It was a 50-minute interview, which was very long, and we had to, you know, chop that down to size. But he broke news on our podcast, and then we were able to put that on TOP. So we're hoping that this kind of becomes something where it's a symbiotic relationship as opposed to just us, you know, borrowing from their sound and their talent.
Did you ask him about what he thought of the HBO show where there's an actor who is portraying him?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wait,
no,
really?
No, I wish to remember that we actually just interviewed Joel Fenton, who's used to be a Sun crime reporter, and he wrote a book, and now he's
Justin Fenton,
and he's going to be working for the Baltimore Banner, and so I guess they made he wrote about the violent crime, the gun team up in Baltimore that was like really corrupt, mm-hmm. and that all occurred while he was the commissioner. So it was like, oh, hey, I asked that guy questions once, and you know, it was a big deal when he came out here that they sort of talked about this. But anyway, no, that way. So when you have him back, make sure you ask him what he thinks about that. But anyway,
so just to bring, you brought it up and you don't know the name of the show or the movie.
People can, you know, it's called the internet. You know, I don't have to provide all the answers.
I'm trying to Google it right now.
All right.
His book is called We Own This City. I just don't know what the...
You'll see the ad. I've been seeing it on Twitter all the time.
Oh, you're talking about The Wire? No.
No, 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 no.
No, no, no.
Is Kevin Davis based on a real person? Yes. That's it.
Well, Kevin Davis was in Baltimore during and after Freddie Gray's killing.
Yeah, they brought him in, right after that. And also, I guess this was when, you know, I haven't gotten later into the show or read the book. This is, you know, when the governor... leaves under what is it? We Own This City.
We Own This City. Yep, that's it.
Yeah, and well, this is stupid.
Oh, I thought his book was We Own This City. You're gonna have to edit the crap out of this.
Well, who cares? this is Nicole's problem. It's not mine.
Hi, Nicole.
But the thing is,
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. The thing is that when I interviewed him about the Baltimore Banner, I wasn't aware of all this. And this came up in our conversation, and it was just something sitting in the back of my head. And when I started watching, I was like, oh. Yeah. Now you'll be old one day, and
you'll forget things.
You'll
That's
forget
already
things.
Happening to me. So
oh
I think
God.
I am old. Yeah.
Oh my God. So anyway, let's jump beyond this. Okay. So the thing about this episode, you also had a second story, which tonally was very different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Big time. It was about ticks.
It was about ticks.
And so we went from the Supreme Court
and
to
possibly
ticks.
A spider,
palm-sized spider.
A palm size. So. Was that a deliberate choice, or was that a story you knew you were going to be covering?
Okay, so let's get the idea out of our heads that we ever know what we're going to be covering, because it's a daily podcast. So we come in and, you know, it's sort of a white knuckle, a couple you know, hours until we figure it out. Essentially, you're just taking the most interesting stories of the day. And sometimes those stories go together and sometimes they really don't. So in that case, we thought it was really cool and weird and scientific and something that would be a talker. Mm. And honestly, I mean, a little bit lighter than the heaviness of the conversation around the legality of abortion and, you know, how it breaks down by state. I mean, it gives you a little bit of a mental break. And it's also kind of interesting from a local perspective is there's this tick apparently that could give you or if it bites you, you could develop the an allergy to red meat. That was the story.
But it does go to our decision to really pick two stories. You know, I think when we were thinking and crafting this idea of this show, it was like, oh, do we do one story? Do we do five?
It's just doing 60 minutes every day.
Right, right, exactly. You have to call it at some point.
So we're like, you know, we want more than one, but we can't do eight. So two, you know, I think is what we settled on. And I'm glad we did because I think it gives enough. It gives more than one story. You hear about your community more. You know, you don't just focus on D.C. or, you know, Virginia or Maryland. You can get, you know, a rounder story or
funny.
Episode.
It's funny, though, because at TOP, so I have, as a reporter, I had 40 seconds from, from lead to the end of the piece to tell the story.
Yeah.
So when they told me that we could have this podcast, and it's relatively, they wanted about 20 minutes long, you know, content dictating, but around 20 minutes long, I was like, oh, my God, it's so much time. And it is so much time compared to WTOP stories, but
you've never listened to yourself talk.
That's true. That is. Well, no, that's not true. I have on tape.
Oh, I forgot.
I had to edit myself a lot. Sorry, Nicole, again. But my point being is that even though we have more time, we have to be real. We learned very quickly. We have to be very curative with the questions that we ask so that you're not ending up with a 15-minute interview to cut down when you only have an hour. Right. I mean, so not only is it production on the back end, but it's really pre-production and thinking about what do we want to get to right away? What's the question that gets to the heart of this and really gets us into the conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that goes back to what you said at the very beginning. Podcasting is all about time management is like, you know, setting some limits for yourself and like, you know, you're a news reporter. You're both news reporters. You understand what makes a good story. You know, you're going to be able to use that. Muscle in your head to identify the thing that's going to be the subject of what you're going to do. And then, you know, the more you do this, the quicker it's going to be for you to, okay, well, who do we need to talk to? Mm-hmm. What does it need to sound like? So, you know, speaking of sound, I mean, you know, I did mention before that you were able to pull audio from, you know, some of the reporters. I mean, you know, did you, when you started out, did you have an idea what, you know, when I listened to DMV Download, this is what I want it to sound like?
So they gave us an inordinate amount of time to prepare for this project, which is also surprising. Along with the money, this is also not that TOP wouldn't do that, but it's just funny when you think of a podcast. I mean, Michael and I started It's All Journalism in 2013, working on the weekends and like borrowing a studio, making no money.
With Jolie Lee. Yeah.
With Jolie Lee. So I guess it's my idea of podcasting. I'm like, oh, it's this extra thing I do that I don't get paid for. So now I get paid for it, which is pretty great. But yeah, no, we didn't know what we were going to do. And so they gave us time to kind of put together a format and they didn't know what they wanted either. I mean, you kind of have, are we going to do, like Luke said, are we going to do one story? Are we going to do two? Are we going to do eight? Do we do an in-episode sort of promo, which we decided to do, is to kind of get people to that second topic to let them know it's coming?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we show personality? If we're going to be,
right.
You know, it's a very capital J journalism straight podcast. I'm not like, you know, we're not surmising different endings to news stories or anything in the middle of it. So at the end, we decided, okay, let's like carve out a tiny bit of time to talk about what's going on in our lives or something funny that happened in the newsroom or
something interesting.
Right. Or, you know, what happened at the National Zoo today that's ridiculous or whatever it is. And then we have that time. So it took us about, a month or so?
Yeah, two, three,
kind of
4 weeks. Yeah. And then hone it. I mean, we had to think about what would really capture people. You know, people are giving us 15, 17, 20 minutes of their day. I mean, that's a valuable chunk of time. So how do we really meet them there and give them a valuable show? I think tweaking that and honing in on that was important.
Yeah, and I think the idea of, you know, reserving some space for you to breathe and to, you know, incorporate your personalities is just going to, benefit you in so many ways because that's the thing that people are going to want to connect with. because they can always listen to the news. But again, the strength, as I hit the microphone, which I'm not supposed to do, the strength of podcasting is that relationship between the person who's talking in your head.
Yeah.
And so, sometimes people want to know a little about you. They want to know, what's going on at the beach or, whatever.
It was great.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to see that you put a little thought ahead of time, because all I seemed to see for that first month were pictures of the two of you and, oh, here's some swag.
Well, yeah, the trouble with it was, there was a double-edged sword, because we had this time to prepare. But then they were like, well, we want you to, share it and get it out there and spread the word. And we're like, there's nothing to spread yet. We have no content. So it was a lot of selfies.
We got good at selfies. Yeah. Yeah. We're selfie pros.
Yeah.
Well, you also have, it was something that you didn't, there are a couple of things that you have that other people who are starting out podcasts are not going to have. One, you have a platform. You have TOP that's going to be able to push that out for you, both on the website and on the radio. Mm-hmm. And you've also got an audience that's accustomed to listening to TOP. They're familiar with the product as a radio, as a radio piece. But, you've also got, the freedom to go lots of different ways. And you started out with having a commercial.
Gosh, I know. That was unreal.
Is it a sponsor? Is it a commercial spot?
We got sponsored, yeah.
Yeah, we got a sponsor.
Well, good for you.
I know. I know. I'm very happy. We're very happy with the Steam Fitters Local 602.
Yes.
And everything that they've done for us.
We have.
I mean, seriously, because it gives you a little bit of stability. I mean, not that TOP was going to put any pressure on us right away, but I feel like it whatever we were asking for, a little mic tweak here or whatever we needed when we were setting up, you felt a little bit like, oh, I can ask for this. It's okay. We have a little bit of a backing here.
Yeah, because TOP is not just a news station. It's also part of a corporation. And at some point, somebody's going to want to look at a bottom line of something. Should we really be dedicating the resources to this? And
right.
The fact that you have a sponsor, that also is an entree for the marketing and for the sales team to say, we've got a product we can sell. We've got a product we can promote. Mm-hmm. So
What else it keeps away? What? Having to nothing against Purple Mattress, but Purple Mattress in the middle of your podcast or whatever. This is the hot new.
You had some really interesting commercials for 22 hours, if I remember.
Yeah. which makes it weird, because when you're a journalist, you can't do endorsements.
Right.
I was uncomfortable with a lot of the language that they had sent me to voice on these things. So we had to rewrite the commercials, which is like, where's that time coming from? And then voice them and whatever. So that was like another thing we didn't need. Plus, we don't have to add, when you're uploading a podcast, as most of your listeners know, you have to select, are you going to insert ads or not? And we get to say no.
Right.
Which makes it a cleaner listen, I think, for all of our subscribers.
For sure. For sure. Well, okay, so you've identified your two subjects. You've been able to get audio and clips from your reporters. You've done your interviews. You've recorded your interviews. who's putting all the pieces together?
I like it that you think it's a linear process.
It's not. I know that. I know this isn't.
Well, because sometimes, so basically we do two passes on each piece of audio we get. So say I interview Michael, and then we both interview everybody, but I'll take the first pass, meaning I'm going through listening to what's the most important stuff, taking out double speaks, ums and ahs sometimes, cleaning it up a little bit and making sure the content, heaven forbid you and I would go on a tangent. I know that would never happen. But taking things out that you don't necessarily need that get away from the topic of the interview. And then when I'm done, I save it. And at some point, Luke takes a second pass through it.
And while Megan's doing the pass on y'all's interview, we've interviewed someone else, and I'm doing my first pass during that same time. So it's simultaneous editing, and then switching, and then project building. And so I think there's never a moment where neither of us are working on anything.
Yeah.
It's a continuous, churning, workflow.
When's your drop dead on the podcast audio?
That we have to have it downloaded and, ready to go?
Well,
mixed down?
Yeah.
3:45, 4 o'clock.
3:45, okay. Yeah.
But, okay. I mean, you also have to remember that we have to script certain parts of it. We have to script the tease ahead of the ad break, the intro, a little bit of the outro. So all of that has to get recorded every day.
Yeah.
So it's funny, because I don't think we've had one day that has gone similar to the last. Sometimes the interviews come in right away, and we have all of the rest of the day to edit and tweak and do the scripted stuff. Sometimes the interviews aren't coming in until, today, 1:30. So we're trying to get as much stuff in as we can beforehand, and then really devote the time we have left to the audio.
Yeah.
Right. Well, cool. So how do you feel about this? You've been doing it for a couple of weeks. What's your, you know, you feeling better about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like a day like today, like Megan mentioned, you know, we had a later interview, but we knew what to do before. And so, you know, we were able to publish like well before, you know, 4 p.m., which was fantastic. And then also, you know, I think we're getting better and better at crafting shows that bring some understanding, and that's just all we want to do.
Yeah.
So it's exciting. I mean, every day is exciting because it's so new. And I think we're making really good stuff. Like, people who listen, I think, are learning things, and I love it.
Yeah, I mean, he's very optimistic.
That's true.
Which I love about him. No, I mean, I think there was a little bit of a hair on fire situation in the beginning because you're just trying to make that deadline. And then we didn't want to put out a product that it was like, okay, it's done, not, okay, it's great and it's done. And so I think we're getting better at, throughout the day, making editorial calls, whether it's, we should cut that question, or maybe we should ask her to rephrase that because I'm hearing that right now and that didn't make sense. So can, like, ask it again. I mean, kind of editing as you go, so that you end up with a better product that you're mixing down at the end of the day.
What advice would you give to a newsroom or even anybody just wanting to start a podcast to, they want to do a podcast, a regular podcast, it may not be a news podcast. Well, let's talk about this because I work on a journalism podcast. Let's talk about journalism. What would you say to other newsrooms, maybe radio or maybe even, you know, regular newsrooms? What advice would you give to them?
I think as far as podcasts go and the melding of a podcast and a newsroom holds so much potential. Every reporter knows so much information and has the ability to tell a story. And so a podcast is just time for them to say it in how they want to say it, which is conversationally and, you know, from themselves. And I think it's a great opportunity for any newsroom to introduce a podcast like that where you're talking about the news. Yeah, that's what I think.
I think that, first of all, everybody who's involved in the project has to be excited about it, eager about it, because it's a lot of work. I mean, we all know that already.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, I mean, you might not get a pee break kind of work. But I also think that it provides an opportunity for the journalism you're doing to reach a different audience, and it provides your reporters and your anchors and your web writers a new place where they can say, hey, this is what I put on the web or this is what I put on the air, but I have more, and this is what I have, and this is who I talk to, and here's the sound from that person, and this is why I think that's cool. And there's an audience for that, especially if you have an established newsroom that people trust the product you're putting out. So I think that a lot of times newsrooms traditionally are scared to, like, can we handle this? I mean, can we handle the resources of it and just the amount of work that's going to take? But is our newsroom going to be on board? Right. I mean, that's the bigger question, because I think the listeners and your readers or whoever you have as your consumer will come. But when we pitched it inside, and I think it helped that Luke and I worked here previously before taking on this project, it was like, hey, Kate Ryan. Hey, John Doman. I mean, our reporters who work every day, tell me more about that story you did.
Mm.
And at first they're like, okay, like, I'll meet you in there. And then once they have the opportunity to do it, I think they like it.
Right.
I don't want to speak for them. I feel bad. But my impression is that they like it because it gives them the opportunity to say more about their work.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually the wonderful thing about doing a podcast as opposed to the report, what we were saying before about the way stories are written for the type of news that TOP does.
Mm-hmm.
You have more time for context, more time for conversations. And there, as you said, there's an audience for that. I think I'm done.
Okay.
I think we've done what we set out to do.
Check.
Luke and Megan, thank you for letting me come in. I'm really excited to see this happening. I think this is, you're on a great track here, and I'm expecting good things from you.
You know what I have to say, though? I would really love if your listeners, because who are all people who appreciate journalism podcasts, would give us feedback. Because honestly, this thing is, I feel like I'm shaping like Play-Doh every day. You know what I mean? Like, there's a different way we can do it. There's tweaks we can make, and we want to get better. And so I think that, hearing from other journalists to me is like the top. as
100%.
The top of the top kind of feedback that I can get. And Michael, you've been so helpful as well as we were kind of putting this thing together.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome. I was just looking to help out a friend who I thought was on the right track, but just needed just a suggestion or
yeah,
two.
Yeah, no, it was really, it was great. It was a great suggestion. And I don't know. I
and
think
yet
it makes
Luke
better.
Is still here. I see. So anyway, that's thanks for letting me come in.
Yeah. Thanks for having us on your podcast. We're very excited about this project and we'd love to update you, you know.
Oh, sure.
Hopefully, knock on wood, when we still have this thing that's super successful.
In your 500th episode.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.